talk about blessings, but in order to receive blessings, we have heard, we must come into a respectful mood. Water flows from above to below. So is this bhakti?
A long time ago, I was wondering about offering respect, and I asked Jai Maharaj in the class, we're told we should offer all respects to others. Could you comment, Maharaj? And he said, I guess I said, you know, does that mean we, you know, just have to offer complete respect to everybody? And he said, you offer as much respect as the person deserves. So that helped me adjust my understanding that I don't have to go all out for everybody. Really.
Yes. You heard Tathagata Prabhu's reflection that respect must be offered according to the respectability of a person. Offer as much as the person deserves. That would most probably mean we don't offer a dandavat pranam to the lion. Yes, thank you very much. Let us explore a little bit more also on this subject. What does offering respect have to do with bhakti, or could it have something to do with bhakti? Tina?
Maybe just because in every human being, a living entity, there is super soul, Krishna.
So you would say it has to do with bhakti, and your reason is because in every soul there is a super soul, and then it would mean the offering, the respect is offered to the Lord within the heart. There is something like this in the scriptures. I think we know from the fourth canto there is a description of this. Gopeshwari. It has to do with humility, and humility is the beginning of spiritual life. That's an interesting comment. Gopeshwari says it leads to something. Beginning, respect can lead to something. I will come back to this a little later. Still Joseph, a few more hours, Joseph, yes.
It can be bhakti, but it must not be bhakti.
It can be bhakti, but it does not have to be bhakti.
So if I am on prema, let's say, if I would be on prema, you know, and I offer respect to the baby, so I can be really be an act in of bhakti. Or I offer respect to everybody, but he always is Krishna's temple, and Krishna is a super soul, it's so it can be bhakti. On the other hand, if I'm not doing it in his emotions or in his thinking, it can help us to get bhakti.
So Bhakti Yosef says it depends whether it is bhakti on my attitude, if I offer to the deities respect, and if I offer respect to another person knowing he is a temple of Lord Krishna or Paramatma, then it's bhakti. Or if I could offer it in the sense that I'm respectful and this brings me to true humility and so on, then it can also be connected with bhakti. There's a lot of respect out of sense gratification. It's not bhakti. I come to a person, I'm respectful in order to get some rewards from him. We all know this. We have heard about this many times in lectures given in our temples, that the idea of offering respect and not expecting respect in return is a concept where the devotee consciously escapes the vicious circle of materialistic prestige. He offers respect, but he doesn't want a reward. of being respected again. Mm-hmm. I would like to explore the subject with you still a little bit more deeper by telling you something which I feel deserves most probably the biggest amount of attention from you, from all the points which I present this evening, today. I feel if we can understand it, explore this point together with full attention and with a mood where we seek further understanding on this subject of getting blessings by offering respects, I feel it will help us very much to enter the deeper the subject of blessings. And I sincerely request all of you to now start to now try to understand and seek to understand what we say. So, the Vedic culture is a culture of giving respect. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this respect, or offering of respect, is something like bhaktya bhasa. It can be mixed. It's mixed bhakti. It's not yet pure bhakti. And he reasons that there are certain activities which bring us towards bhakti. They are called bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Maybe you have the more intelligent, not the students who are a little bit longer in studying here have heard about this in some of their lectures. There are also activities which bring us, they're called jnan unmukhi sukriti, activities which bring us knowledge, and kam unmukhi sukriti. These are things like building bridges, planting trees, taking care of people, etc. These activities bring great benefit. Now, there are certain activities which do give us the benefit of bhakti, even though in themselves they are not yet bhakti. They are called bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. For instance, to give a very, very known example, it's meeting the devotees. Someone meets a devotee, and at this stage now, bhakti can start. He can listen to a devotee, he can maybe serve a devotee, or he can, what else? Yeah, listen to a devotee, serve a devotee, hear the kirtan of a devotee, and at this time, bhakti can start to grow in his life. So, in offering respect, there is a great, great chance when you do this towards the Lord, towards worthy people who have bhakti in their heart, that this can bring you towards the experience of love for Krishna, or bhakti, or devotional service. This discussion is made in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, a work of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There he says that if you establish a fire ground, a yagyik fire, we will see this tomorrow in relationship to Bhakta Yosef, and then put the mandala with some nice paint into the fire ground, and then establish everything, you have the prerequisites of a yagya, but not yet the yagya itself. The yagya is really there when clarified butter is offered into the fire and consumed by chanting the syllable Svaha. No? Then we understand the yagya is there, because then Lord Vishnu is fed with the spoon and with the ghee. The other things are, so to say, preparatory, assembling everything and bringing it together so that the real yajna can start. And a very, very good example is given. See, when we do these activities of sadhan bhakti, we engage what? We engage the senses. But can the senses ever hope to realize God, the material senses? Can the eyes ever see the Lord? Can the ears ever hear the holy name? There is a verse which says, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai. The name, form, qualities, associates, and pastimes of Krishna are beyond the senses. You follow? The eyes don't reach to, the material eyes don't reach Krishna. The material ears cannot hear Krishna. The material limbs cannot serve Krishna, because Krishna is entirely spiritual and our material senses are entirely material. How can the two go together? How can your skin see the sun? Not possible. So, however, a devotee engages the senses, beginning with the tongue, in the service of the Lord Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself to the purified senses of that devotee. So, can you understand the fine nuances here? When the senses are directed towards Lord Krishna, Krishna becomes the object of the senses, and as a result, the senses are purified so that the Lord can reveal himself and become visible to the devotee in the purified senses. So it's the same thing with respect. When you offer respect to a spiritual personality, let us say God, the devotees of Lord Krishna, this in itself is not yet bhakti. However, what is happening is that the Lord is contacting you in some ways and purifies your senses so that then you can have bhakti with your purified senses. This bhakti is something out of this world, and it is explained in the Purva Vibhaga 111 in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's a very known shloka. Please recite it with me. Anya bilashita shunyam jnanakama jnanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. Pure devotional service is freed from all impurities, beginning with kama and jnana. In other words, bhakti is devoid of all attempts to attain fulfillment through power and knowledge. This is a Shuddha bhakti is the favorable cultivation of service to Krishna. In Shuddha bhakti, a devotee constantly serves Krishna's desires. So, it can bring us to bhakti, things, this contact through respect with the respectable persons. And I would like to give you two examples. One is not known to you most properly, and the other is known maybe to two of you or three of you. This is my guess. It will show us how certain activities who may not be bhakti in the beginning, but who bring us in contact with Krishna, can generate bhakti. The first is about a Muslim person called Ras Khan. It sounds already like rascal, isn't it? So Ras Khan had an unnatural attraction to young boys. How do we call this? Homophilistic, or what is the word?
Pedophile.
Yes, thank you, Tina, for the right. Pedophilistic attraction, or whatever it is. And one day, you know, he was looking for young boys to live out his unnatural tendencies. One day, he saw a picture of Lord Krishna, a most beautiful young boy with such an amazing bodily attractiveness. And his pedophilistic tendencies were arisen. Wow! If I could meet this boy only. I hope it's not too shocking to for you to hear this. Is it all right if I continue? It's a little disturbing for our bhakti feelings, I believe. But then I think I would be very happy. He was feeling like this, Raskan. So he inquired, where is this? He got this picture, he stole it overnight, and he told people, where is this boy, please? Where does he live? Any idea? And some good Hindu people of his time said, this is Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan. Where's Vrindavan? Vrindavan is there. You go here and you go to Agra and then you get to the Jamuna, then you go up the Jamuna, then Mathura, then Vrindavan. I must go. So as he was going, he was checking other people. He lives in Vrindavan, yes or no? Yes. You are on the right way. Yes. So he went to Vrindavan eventually, and everywhere he began to search for Krishna. Finally, by engaging his mind so much with Krishna, some good feelings towards Krishna, which had nothing to do with the pedophilistic feelings, developed in him. And he wrote verses like, I see you in the stones, I see you in the trees. Beautiful songs, actually. Because he was so much wanting to see little Krishna that he began to see him really everywhere, in the stones and in the trees. It worked. Bhakt Yun Mukhi Sukriti. The benefit of doing activities which had connection with Krishna actually arose some bhakti in him. And finally, he actually met Lord Krishna. Prabhupada has also written about such a case, about this person who wanted to steal from Lord Krishna, do you remember? And how he went to Vrindavan, and how he wanted to find, and how he met Krishna, and he said, Krishna, can I have your crown? Krishna said, no, mother, my mother would not be very happy if this crown is gone. And he would, like this, and finally Krishna was actually ready to give him, but then he didn't want, he wanted to serve Krishna. So this is a good example of how offering respect, although it may not be full of bhakti yet, although, for instance, your obeisances when you go to the temple room may not be so full of bhakti as of yet, may not be bhakti, can lead you to bhakti. Bhakt Yunmukhi Sukriti. So this very culture which would give us instruction to respect would really offer us Bhakt Yunmukhi Bhaktyun Mukhi Sukriti, especially when it came in the Daivivana Shram system, a society system which held God to be the ultimate goal of all their endeavors and so on. Mm. Thought this was very important.
Can it be an act of devotion also, when you expand your presence?
Can it be an act of devotion itself? Well, see, in sadhana bhakti, what is your good name?
Ramapriya.
Ramapriya Prabhuji. In Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, we offer our senses to the Lord. We do some sensual activity only when we do this with the motivation to please Krishna, does this become bhakti? Because let us really distinguish a mere gymnastics of activities is not yet bhakti. It is something which leads us to bhakti because it brings us in connection with Krishna. So Prabhupada used to always train us. I had this wonderful lecture I played it often in one of my seminars. Where Srila Prabhupada said, "Be careful! You are dealing with Krishna." He was bringing this to our attention. You should, when you offer service, come to Krishna. "Oh Krishna, I have brought this insignificant thing to you. Please accept." And then Prabhupada breaks down and has to end the lecture because he's overwhelmed by the feelings of Krishna consciousness. So, definitely our sadhana brings us in contact with Krishna. And, you know, because we are doing our sadhana under Prabhupada's guidance, the spirit of Krishna consciousness is imbibed in us. Prabhupada would always present Krishna consciousness not just in like an empty technique. He would really always bring in the idea of doing it to please the senses of the Lord, to please the Lord Himself, and in this way connected and enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So yes, one of the things, coming back to your question, is really namaskuru, offering obeisances. It's the four things which Krishna describes a devotee has to do. Krishna only demands four things in the Gita. Of course, these four things are executed by this 64 items of devotional practice. But this manmana bhava matbhakto, think of me, mind must think of him. Then, bhava matbhakto, be my devotee, that means do devotional service. Majaji, offer worship me. Jaji means worship. Worship me and namaskuru, offer your obeisances. It's certainly a devotional practice which brings us to bhakti if we engage our mind in it, if it's not mindless, robot-like service. Yeah. This is something where I feel in my preaching I have tried to put an emphasis. Now, I'm always quoting certain passages from Prabhupada's books where Prabhupada says, devotee means the mind. You have to bring your mind into what you're doing so that it really brings us to bhakti. It's not just the engagement of the senses. Mm-hmm. I would now, I'm very happy that we went through this. Difficult point, really. That you may not yet have bhakti in your heart, But by doing the activities, the prescribed activities of devotional service with your senses, bhakti can arise in your heart. It is really expected to arise in your heart, because you are coming in contact with Lord Krishna through these things. You're making Krishna the object of your senses. You're looking at Krishna. You're serving Krishna. When you do, you're singing his names. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this so nice by saying that a devotee who's engaged under the order of his spiritual master in devotional service, such a devotee makes spiritual sense objects the objects of his senses, and in this way he eats spiritual spiritually. And then bhakti, then the verse is brought that bhakti parushanubhavo virakti anyatra chai shatrika el kakala, that with every with performing bhakti means you feed your spiritual life just like when you eat. When you eat, you become satisfied and ultimately nourished, and you lose your hunger. So when you perform bhakti, what happens is, with every, just like a man who eats, you get a direct experience of Krishna. You get more understanding of Krishna, and finally you get detached from the material world. This is what happens as you perform bhakti very nicely. It's like and then bhakti, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues to explain. He says that a devotee can either have a material body or a spiritual body, depending on whether he feeds his senses spiritual objects or not. Now I want to now make this very simple. A few days, 3 days before Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj passed away, he so kindly appeared in my dream, and he said he would have a last message for me. And then he said, Satchinandan Swami, in our hearts are two dogs. They fight. Which one wins? I said in the dream, I have no idea, Maharaj. And I'm not interested, to be very truthful with you. I want to know, how are you? How does it feel to be dying? But he would not come down on that social level. He would say, think, which one of the two dogs who are fighting will win? Then he smiled at me. He gave the answer himself, because he knew I was over-challenged in this situation. He said, that dog will win whom you give food. Please translate this into your life. You have two sides, a material and a spiritual side. Which one will win? The one whom you give food. I can guarantee you, if here someone would now start to live a life of a fashionable young person with sense gratification, discotheque, what else? Sex life, huge amount of sex life. In a few hours, or not hours, few days or weeks, we would not recognize you by the same effulgence which you have now. You would be a different person. The other dog would be so strong. And want more. But if you go into an intense program like here in Radhadesh, your spirituality shines forth, and you become so effulgent and so good. Yeah, I have seen. I don't want to say names, but I know some of you whom I have seen before. That's where the material dog was well fed. And I have seen also some of you now who are where the spiritual side, I don't want to say dog, where the spiritual side is well fed, and there is a vastly superior difference. I remember when I met my old friends, when I was just had come to the temple, I would be on Sankirtan, and then my friends would come up to me and said, I'm sorry, but do I know you? And I was just smiling because, well, I don't know. Who do you think I am? I would say. And then they would say my passport name. And I would say, you seem to not be very sure. I will tell you a secret. I am not the passport name. I'm an eternal spiritual soul. And then I would speak some words which they knew. I know a very specific type of German language which is very selective, and they would know, okay, that's him. He speaks that language. He knows it. So they would recognize me. Ja, Alter! You know, and then we would... I still remember this. I would laugh. Because something has changed. I remember this when I was when I was going to Paris, and they had told me that my older brother had just started a world journey. He wanted to travel around the world. And but before he wanted to go to Australia or somewhere, he wanted to meet me in Paris at the school de Ecole. Guru Hari can has to train me in the right way of pronouncing this. School de Ecole?
Ecole,
yes. It's an architecture school or something. Yeah?
Ecole is the general.
It's only the general word. And I remember I came there, and my older brother came and saw me, and I saw him for the first time. And I do remember he looked entirely different. He didn't look the same. He had changed from the few days of feeding his spiritual side. He had not taken any unmentionable substances. He had chanted, and he looked totally different. It's because he fed his spiritual side. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Don't have much more for today. I mean, I want to conclude now what I have for today. I wanted to tell you one last story about the need of offering respect and getting blessings. After the Rajasuya opfer, sacrifice, Lord Krishna instructed his everyone who participated in the sacrifice to do certain services. Bhishma and Drona were greeting the guests. Duryodhana counted the Lakshmi because he was the most materialistic. Bhima was in charge of cooking for all the guests, and Draupadi took care of the guests' accommodation. Do you know who washed the feet of the guests who came? Krishna.
What wonderful Lord we have. He washed each and everyone's foot to show respect. Then, at the end, this is described in the Mahabharata, Krishna said the sacrifice is incomplete. Everyone looked around and said, what? I thought we did everything. Yudhishthira was in great worries. My Lord, it's incomplete. How do you say this? It's incomplete. Krishna said, well, there's something missing. At the end of a complete sacrifice, the bell is supposed to ring. Ring, 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 ring. But the bell has not yet sounded. It's supposed to ring without a human hand ringing it. Oh, yes, Yudhishthira. He went like this to the bell. Bell ring. We did everything right. We hosted all the saints and everything was done very, very good. We had good priests and so on. The bell was not ringing. So finally, Lord Krishna said, there's one element missing. A Brahmana was not, no, a Vaishnav was not fed. At the end of the yajna, a good Vaishnav has to be fed. So Bhima said, okay, I get a devotee and we feed him. And Draupadi was requested to cook with her own hand some very good fine meal. And Bhima soon came with a simple Vaishnava whom he had gotten from the forest. And they all seated him very nicely. They gave him a table. And they brought him the food. And the Vaishnava looked at the food and was so opulent. He had never eaten such food before. Most probably he had never seen such food. So he ate it. And then he left. He gave the sound that he was satisfied. You know the sound. Then he left. So everyone looked towards the bell. But the bell was not ringing. Yudhishthira said to Krishna, the bell is not ringing. What is the reason why the bell is not ringing this time? We fed a Vaishnav, and he got the food which was offered by the Draupadi. Krishna said, someone here has made Vaishnav aparat. Draupadi said, but what could I do? I had cooked so nicely the food, then he takes it. Then he puts the, someone help me, it's called the katoris. No, these little pots. How do we call them? Katoris, yes, a little spot. He put everything on there and then he mixed it because he was of simple habits. I thought I cooked these nice foodstuffs and then he just... It's actually it's called pre-digestion, but it, nevertheless, for a cook, it doesn't look nice, you know. And then I just thought, what a simple person. little primitive. Okay, said Krishna, the blessings didn't come because Draupadi was offensive. We have to get him again. Bhima said, no problem. Be polite. Be kind. So Bhima went we were just thinking that you ate so little. You ate hardly anything. You please come back for a second helping. Oh, no, said Vaishnava. I'm very satisfied. I never eat so much in 1 month. And I've never eaten such opulent food cooked in ghee with nice sesame and so on. I just, in German language, one would say, ich bin so satt, ich mag kein Blatt. No, it means I can't even eat a leaf. I'm so full. Bhima Sena came on his knees. He had to be polite. He couldn't just come on over. <You know>? He said, no, you know, we are in a great dilemma. We made this, and when we don't satisfy, you have satisfied me fully, don't worry, don't be mental. No, one of us was fully respectful. You were 100% respectful. So it took him a few hours really to convince that Vaishnav to come again and eat again. But finally he was convinced and he ate and he got the plate. Draupadi had cooked it, and again went tum, 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 and everyone looked towards Draupadi. Draupadi smiled. Very good, very good. Very nice eating habits. Please eat. And he ate, and the sound came again, and he was satisfied. And then, ling, 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 the bell was sounding. And then, the Raja Surya sacrifice was complete. Only with this, because we need the blessings of the devotee. Now, to obtain the blessings of either the Lord or the devotees, we can take help of the prayers of Mukunda. When Mukunda said, there must be faith in order to have bhakti. Faith must be there. And affection must be there. If you don't have faith and affection, you cannot really get the blessings, but you pain the heart of the Lord. When the Lord feels pain in his heart, the waves of his blessings will not come in your way. Same thing holds true to devotees. Without any faith and without affection, you cannot obtain any blessings. Radhanath Maharaj tells us of an instant where he saw that one devotee was trying to get the blessings of another devotee by trying to get the dust from his feet. So the devotee was very unwilling to give, and he backed out. But this devotee who wanted to get the blessing jumped at the devotee's ankles, and one ankle sprained. And then, of course, the devotee broke down, the devotee from whom he wanted to have the blessing, and then he could get the sock on his feet. But do you think he got the blessing? No, it can't be, because he had caused pain to the devotee and the devotee's heart. And how do blessings come when there is pain? So when we come without Shraddha, without faith, and without any love in our heart to collect blessings, then we only create pain, and the result will not be the waves of mercy which come from the heart of the person from whom we look for blessings. Faith and love is a very important ingredient in order to collect blessings successfully. I believe this is clear. This we can understand very easily. There, just a little while ago, on this seminar, and I will end here, on a previous seminar in Goloka Dham, we read together from the Chaitanya Bhagavat how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about one washerman who wanted to see Lord Krishna. This washerman performed for a long time austerity, and finally the Lord appeared before him. It was in Mathura. The washerman had just washed the king's cloth. And Krishna came through Mathura, saw the king's cloth, and said, "Oh, I would like to dress in them." The washerman looked at Krishna and said, "Do you know whose clothes these are?" Krishna said, "They're meant for me. They are the clothes of King Kamsa, not your clothes, young cowherd boy." So, Lord Chaitanya comments. He says, this washerman wanted to see Krishna and had performed so many austerities to finally see Krishna. But when Lord Krishna stood before him, he had no bhakti and no shraddha in his heart, so that he could not offer seva, service. And we know what Krishna did. He mercifully delivered him from this very, very, very awkward position of having seen Krishna and not doing service to Krishna. He took his hand and delivered him from material existence, which was a great blessing. So then Lord Chaitanya said, it's the same with me. When there is someone who comes but does not offer faith and bhakti, he creates pain in my heart, and then he does not get the blessings. So we need bhakti and we need to have faith in order to collect the blessings. This, I want to open the forum for any questions which you might have at this stage of the of our little seminar. I have to do something where I need some help. Yes, here's our Sudevi. Sudevi, please speak. Sprechen Sie bitte.
I wonder what, I mean, sometimes we commit an offense, like, unknowingly, but we kind of know we didn't quite act properly in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But then, oftentimes, the other devotee, because of the natural humility that devotees have, they don't, like, see the offense, but we kind of still, like, feel there's some mistake that we made. So what then if the devotee actually doesn't feel offended? Like in the example of the old body also, the Vaishnava didn't feel offended, but still...
In Madhurya Kadambini, let me first repeat the question. So Devi says, sometimes we do have a feeling that we did something wrong towards a devotee, but the devotee does not feel offended. Like in the example which we just heard, Draupadi had this ill feeling towards the devotee. She felt that her effort was not properly received, her cooking effort, but the devotee did not notice anything and didn't take offense. It is said in the Vaishnava Shastra that even if a devotee or an advanced devotee will not so easily take offense, he will not notice anything, but still the dust of the feet of the devotee will take offense. Now this can mean two things. The general explanation is that the dust of the devotee
are his followers. You know, who follow him. Let us say there's a great devotee, Sudevi, and someone may act improperly towards him. The great devotee doesn't, may not feel it, but the followers may feel it. I remember this very much in Amsterdam. This case was there. We had a public program. Prabhupada was sitting on a stage in Vondelpark, and we had just ended the kirtan, and Prabhupada started to speak. And at this moment, one hippie boy started to say, I didn't hear what he said, but he really began to, he screamed at Prabhupada some offensive thing that was clear. You know, shouting some bad words, vulgar things or so. I could only hear by the sound vibration. I think it was in Dutch. It was really some agitated accusation. And Prabhupada immediately said, no problem. It seems the people are not receptive. Let us do more kirtan. He had done this earlier in Paris also at the Sorbonne University, where he was interrupted. But so he didn't take offense. He thought, they are a little fallen, let us do kirtan. You know, they are a little, Prabhupada would think, oh, yeah, they are a little bit animalistic tendencies are here. Let us do kirtan. But we, the dust, took so much offense. I mean, there was Chakravarti who jumped on the first, then Pradyumna the scholar ran from the stage, and he also, you saw one naked leg with black hair, you know, Pradyumna was there getting on the case of the guy, and there were others also, and I also thought, well, as this seems to be the thing to do, let us also run and give him the sauce, you know. It was not good what he did. And Prabhupada stopped us. We were all, you know, like seven wild defenders of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, we shouldn't do this. And I remember, later we had a deity installation in Amsterdam, and actually the same person came back again, and he was civil. He was all right. He didn't do any disturbed. I mean, his feet did. They smelled a little uncivilized. So, but we requested him to go into the bathroom and take care of this problem, and he did, and so on. These were the times of the beginnings of our movement. Disturbing feet, that was an issue, yes. I do remember Prabhupada did not take offense. But there's something else in this. Let us say someone does not have, in that sense, followers or pupils, students. The devotee may say, you didn't commit offense, but still Lord Krishna will not be happy with this. And the easiest way is to just, if you correct your mentality in regards to this devotee, a good way to correct your mentality is to see the glories of the devotee, what he does, and so on, and try to see the positive things to Devi, and maybe offer some unknown service, you know, something nice which you can do to express your profound, let me say, your bereavement that you did something wrong. Is there anyone else of you who would like at this stage to ask a question regarding this subject matter? Oh yeah, there was Tina, isn't it? No? Similar question, so it's answered. So Devi has another question? Yeah.
Well, I was wondering if you could maybe say something more on what it means to offer respect to I guess it's not just the physical activity that one pays on this obeisances, but if you can maybe.
Offering of respects, offering of obeisances is always centered around the heart. The heart or the mind has to be there when you offer obeisances. There are is Panchanga obeisances, is what the Matajis do with five limbs of the body. And there is Ashtanga Pranam, that is where all limbs of the body, including the chest, is touching the floor. Now, in and then there is also the very simple pranams, which goes like this. But in all these three types of obeisances, all these three types, there's always one ingredient which is the same, and that's the mind. He who offers like this obeisances, maybe there is a situation where we just offer pranams like this as a sign, or if we offer panchanga, kneeling down, and then if we offer ashtanga pranam. There's something which you as Matajis might like to hear, because as Matajis, in our understanding in ISKCON, we do not offer panchanga dandavats pranam because of the anatomical building of the female body. It may not be so comfortable to lay down like this with the chest on the floor, but when you do like this panchanga, then you actually show us that your the heart is higher than the head. I heard this from Bhakti Charu Maharaj in his Vaishnav etiquette, and it made a lot of sense. See, if I kneel down here like this, then my heart is higher than the head. Do you see? Yes? This is very, very nice. So that is, that shows something of the obeisances. It's a devotional activity, not an intellectual activity. I would also, since you asked so nice, say something else. But was your hand coming up, Prabhu? Yeah? In a question? Or yes, please. What is your good name, Prabhu?
Aravindaksha.
Aravindaksha, Prabhu. Yes, please speak.
At the end, if I understood you well, you said we need bhakti and faith in order to be able to obtain blessings. If we, for example, very simple example, distribute prasad and some receives prasad, which is Krishna's blessing, unknowingly and unconscious, does he get blessings as he receives blessings?
Yeah, there is called something our devotees asked if we receive blessings. No, if we distribute prasad, which is blessings, so someone receives it unknowingly and therefore cannot offer the two ingredients, bhakti and faith, does he make advancement? We have heard that to receive blessings, really, bhakti and faith is good. Yes, he also makes advancement. There's something like agyata sukriti. I think you know that meaning. It's a unconscious sukriti or benefit which comes your way. Yes. Bhakta Kiyo?
Sometimes, at least in my case, there's people in relation to them that I feel I should respect them, and then I even offer obeisances like from distance. But and then I can understand what I should do in relation to them, like if from when I analyze my situation sort of objectively. But when I actually go in front of that person, sometimes because of particular history between myself and those people, it just my ego comes up, so like up to my face, and it just I just cannot express like respect or gratitude. Like for example, like in my parents, it's very difficult. Like from like when I'm away, it's very easy to appreciate them. But when I actually meet them, it's just my sort of ego comes up, and it's very difficult to, how do you say, express my gratitude and respect. And in that sort of cases, what can I do to overcome this sort of ego comes up?
Bhakti Akio asked the question that sometimes I do know that I should offer respect, but because of the history I have with that person, when I'm standing actually before that person, like for instance my parents, my ego seems to flare up and I'm not able to offer my respect. Well, what to do in such situations? See, in Vaishnava practical tradition, there is a practice which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, and that is that each Ekadasi, you go and review your life, and reviewing your life means, or what you did, means to go through the different stations of your life, and evaluate what you did. This is how you can start to change a behavior, by evaluating first of all the behavior, and then making a plan of a more ideal behavior. Now when the same situation arises in which you feel you acted wrong, then you have already an alternative behavior for this time now which is before you, and you take that. I must tell you, I'm working very much with this system in my own Krishna conscious life. I come in situations which repeat themselves, and I have seen that I acted or reacted wrongly in the situation, and because I've thought about the ideal situation, I just take the old chip out of the reactory behavior and insert the new chip of the ideal behavior, and then it often works. I would say 80% of the cases. There's only one thing in my life where it doesn't work. It's when I hear someone pronouncing English with a certain accent, then I just feel, wow, this is special. Otherwise, it does work very nice. Only in the language department I miserably fail. But I will also learn it, you know. Do you follow this thing? This advice you will find also elsewhere, but I was so delighted to find it in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who said we should evaluate our activities. And evaluation obviously means that we say this was alright, this was not alright, and then we obviously think of an alternative behavior which would be more suitable. Like when you go, for instance, to meet your parents, you know, they will say something which where you will flare up and start to quarrel, but then you have thought about before, okay, I'm entering the house in Japan. Out comes my father. He will pass a remark on such and such situation, which is, according to my understanding, not appropriate. And then, what will I do then? Previously, I used to jump on his throat and would throw him on the ground and then start to strangle him. But now, I will act in a different way. I will say, oh, this is a very interesting opinion. It could be contrasted with this opinion. And, you know, or whatever. alternative behavior you are deeming appropriate. Mm-hmm. And it will work. Please try it. You could say in language, it's programming yourself differently. Mm-hmm. Any other? Go, Peshwari.
I had a question to do with pride and humility. And mm-hmm. culture respect. Sometimes, well, I mean, we know everything that we're supposed to learn from every situation. With every person, take a lesson what's offered there. And sometimes, I find myself coming in a situation where. Okay, someone who's supposedly junior, I should maybe be in a role that maybe I give some little guidance or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the role is really becomes reversed somehow. Then I think the ego can flare up also.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, well, button your tongue.
Button your tongue?
Yeah, bite.
Bite on your tongue.
What can you learn, actually? Maybe that person saying something, you can learn from them, and it's not important to assert some other role.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, then I wonder if good, I mean, I should be humble, but what is it to be humble in?
Kopeshwari, this is a very good question, and I have I'm very happy to be able to supply you with an answer which I feel is a little bit more complete than the answer I could have given you half a year ago. Kopeshwari says there may be situations where I, as a senior devotee, am supposed to advise and guide or help a junior devotee, but all of a sudden the situation turns around. The junior devotee advises me, and I'm in the situation where my ego flares up. Should I bite my tongue or what? See, in the Vedic civilization, there are always two types of considerations. One is alokika and one is lokika. Lokika is the social consideration. And alokika is the transcendental consideration. In the social situation, we have to respect teachers, and I mean not gurus, but our teachers who teach us, parents, the policemen, all types of people, because how otherwise would society go on? In the alokika consideration, we would give that respect only to the Lord, really, our real respect and ultimate respect. So here in the case which you have done is this young devotee should actually be respectful towards you, and on the alokic consideration, you should help him like this, like this, so that society can go on. In the transcendental consideration, you may feel, I can learn from everyone. I would like to give you an example which I just had in Goloka Dham. There was a young bhakta who saw me and then he was so joyful, he just, you know, he had just come. He just clapped on my back. Oh, Maharaj, do we see each other the first time today? Was it actually very early in the temple room? And I looked to him, and I clearly could understand this was an appropriate greeting. I was still shaking. was very, and I just looked at him just very stern, strongly in the face, and I said, that you should know yourself. Don't need to ask me. I made immediately a distance and not hugging now or going with it, because I felt if he doesn't learn to offer respect to the older members, I mean, he was 18 years and I'm now almost walking on the stick, I'm so old, you know, well above 50 and so on. And so he won't go through life very good. But when I looked at him with these eyes, which can make someone feel like having caught fire, you know, I at the same time, no, he's a nice person. I'm just trying to help him like this. So I do feel in such a situation you need to act on two levels. One is you need to show the young devotee in some nice way. There is a little difference between the two of us. You know, a little difference. Difference is there. But in the other sense, you see him as a devotee. But I really feel, especially under the name of humility, we should not do something like giving respect, the same amount of respect to even those who may not, who may still have to learn things. This comes back to the advice which also Tattva Vit Prabhu has quoted, to give respect according to the relative positions of someone. That's a social consideration, a lokika. But any society needs some social guidelines, otherwise it will go helter and skelter, and there is no benefit. Mm-hmm. So don't import a transcendental concept into a situation which needs to be solved with a social concept on a social level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bhadra will have the last question for today, and then we will all, then I will say something, and then you will be released. School free. Yes, Bhadra.
Well, I was just thinking that maybe it's not so much that you give less or more, but you just give a certain kind of respect.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of, like what you did to that boy was really nice because you're really helping him.
Yeah.
It's actually a great respect for him.
A different type of respect. Mm-hmm. The Bhadra says it's a different type. Mm-hmm. The idea should be still, I want to help, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. With a different wording. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Good. So I want to thank you very, very much. I hope it was not boring. I want to say one thing. Some of you were well rested, but I think some of you need to take a little bit more rest. You had a very strenuous life, it seems. I can see this because I'm, at this moment, I'm also a little strained, so please be so kind. It makes it so much easier when you have rested a little bit more. You deserve enough rest. Huh? Please, today also, I spoke with our Yadunandan Prabhu? Yadunandan, huh? Oh my God, maybe I'm also tired because I don't remember them. Yeah. Today in the evening, we will not, I mean, Our preaching group will not offer an evening program. So you, I don't know if there is a big evening program, but please take the time to go early to bed today so that you are fully energized for tomorrow. Because tomorrow we will start with a theater play, which is very subtle. It's a modern theater play with a spiritual content, and it raises a very interesting question in a very artful way. And also tomorrow, what else will we do? Yes, we will talk about the pitfalls of the culture of no respect. It will be a little intellectual at times. We will require you fully there, but I must tell I'm very, very encouraged to be with you. And now I would like the devotees whom we have singled out as the theater stars tomorrow to be with us. We will just go through the theater play. I think you remember who you were. Please come, bring your chairs here so that we can do this. And Sudevi wanted to... Sudevi, maybe you just come also briefly. Thank you very, very much. And I see you tomorrow. Tomorrow also we will give the Srimad Bhagavatam class, which is the greatest honor of a traveling preacher. And I will try to present an interesting subject matter in the Bhagavatam class. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.